It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why I'm not allowed in that mall anymore. No, I'm just kidding. So, at work, a coworker asked me to download a game to my phone because they're looking at it in relation to stuff at work. It's like a learning tool, but it's only available for Android, and he didn't have an Android device. And so I tried it out so we could look at it. I'm playing it a little bit since. It's called Caterpillar Logic.
Okay.
Is it very interesting? It's apparently it's a game of inductive logic rather than deductive logic. And what it is there's on each level there are two lists essentially of caterpillars, and the caterpillars have just individual spaces of one of four different colors. So it's like blue, gray, and green. And so a particular
say hi.
Hi.
So like a caterpillar might have pink and then green again and then blue or whatever. You know, some combination of that. It's just lines of these colors. And there's two lists of them, and one says valid and one says invalid. And you at the bottom can then type those color combinations to make any sort of caterpillar you want, and you hit enter and it tells you if it's valid or invalid.
Okay.
And you have to figure out what the rule is that determines if it's valid or invalid. And once you think you know it, you hit the button that says, I think I know the rule, and they test you. They give you like 15 of them, and you have to say if this one is valid or invalid. And then each level has different rules.
Okay, I kind of follow that.
It's very interesting. At first I thought it seemed kind of dumb, but I was waiting for you here, so I was playing around with it, and it's kind of cool.
Hmm.
So it's a free game, guys, so if you have something with Android, check out Caterpillar Logic. It's kind of cool, and I like that it's not deductive. Like it's you're still following a logical process, but it's different than a lot of logic-based games.
Sure, sure.
So I think that's kind of fun. And it's also very satisfying when you're like, what is this? What is the pattern? And then you're like, oh. Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world whose sound only reaches the planet Earth after 500 years. So by the time you've heard this, we're long dead.
Long dead.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 365.
All right. You gotta remember that, because then we're gonna do 366 afterwards.
Right.
We have to do two, because somebody's wife wants to go see Tomb Raider on opening night.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I hope that actually works out. We haven't, like, bought tickets yet or anything. We probably will, but I don't know. Sell out or anything.
See, I'm wondering, too, because I think I'm gonna take Trish to Wrinkle in Time this Saturday.
Mm.
And I'm trying to decide. I'm like, I don't feel like it's gonna... There are certain movies, like with the Marvel movies, I assume if it's like opening weekend, you probably should do something. Or Star Wars movies, same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know that I feel like this one is big enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably not going to bother. But I am curious, and actually I've heard sort of mixed reviews so far. I want to check it out, and I very much want to support that movie.
Right,
so.
Right.
Okay, how's your week?
How's my week? I'm not going to explain to people how.
Oh, shit. All right.
This works.
I got to do it, because I'm not going to do it in part two, people.
Okay.
So, here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool folks, sexy folks, folks in the know, folks who will have great luck with money in the coming year. Write it. I'm just trying to add in more incentives. And Azhatalin. My favorite part is you're the one who dissed Azhatalin. I enjoy that. I enjoy that a lot. Anyway, people like that, write into the email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its ecologically sound servants, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show.
That's the show.
And we're going to have to do two of them tonight.
Two of them.
Because of Tomb Raider.
Because of Tomb Raider.
Two
for two.
Shows. So how was your week?
All right.
You realize this is a podcast, right?
Yep. I'm thinking about what to talk about.
Well, there's one big one. Are you trying to get the little ones out of the way first? I do that sometimes.
I mean, I'm trying to, I guess there's nothing else but that, the fact that we saw...
Okay. Maybe I should go through Black my week, because I do have some things. I feel like Black Panther's going to take us...
I don't have anything to say
deep.
About it.
Wow.
I don't have anything to say about it.
That's very strange.
I mean, I have things to say about it, but nothing that is not going to give away spoilers, or that I'm not really sure if,
Why do you think that is? Because I have never known you to do that with any other superhero movie. You've always had stuff to say.
Well, because in this case, again, literally, I don't think I can talk about anything without giving away spoilers. But even if I, like I usually do, talk about it and don't talk about it at the same time, which is really boring anyway, part of it is I'm learning my lesson not to do that. But another part is, I feel like, with other superhero movies, even Wonder Woman, where we were talking about feminist issues, I felt safe to talk about some of those things because, I mean, I'm not a woman, but I know women, these issues are very specifically related to race in America and, Black people and how they experience this. And currently, even though I've had Black friends, and I guess I still have Black friends, I don't have any that I'm talking to. Like, all the people I talk to on a regular basis are white people, really.
Mm-hmm.
So,
to be fair, I feel like you talk to like four people on a regular basis.
Pretty much. So.
And I'm white, in case you didn't know.
So, I don't feel confident, I guess, in how I'm seeing this or how I'm interpreting this, or because basically when I went to the film, I left confused about a lot of things, honestly, and so I've been trying to work out, well, what. Does this make sense the way I saw this or thought about this, or how are Black audiences reading it? So I've been reading a lot of articles and things about that, and I don't really feel confident that I have anything useful or meaningful to say. It, like I said, with Wonder Woman, yes, I'm not a woman, that's true, but I know women. I talked to women who were watching it. I read articles about, so I felt like I had something somewhat cogent to say. But this time I just don't feel
that's
like I do.
That's interesting. I mean, I'm not saying I even disagree with you. I think that's very telling, though. I think maybe we should be bothered by that.
By what?
By the fact that we felt comfortable talking about Wonder Woman, and we don't feel comfortable talking about Black Panther.
Well, but if I had several Black friends who I went to see it with, who I was talking to with, I might have more to say about it, because I could. Base a little bit on their experiences and talking to them about it.
But so when you saw Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
it was with your wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah, I was just with my wife. Yeah. That's true.
Also, I feel like even if for some reason you didn't see it with your wife, you still probably would talk about Wonder Woman.
Well, but again, there it's not just watching Wonder Woman and with a woman or talking to other women. My whole experience with feminism in general is with other women and talking to them and, getting information from them and listening to them. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
My whole experience with being sensitive to, representation in terms of race and racial things is not directly talking to people who are dealing with these issues.
I think that's what I'm saying we should be bothered by.
That we don't have more associations.
Yes, that's how things lay out.
Yeah, yeah.
At
well.
This point, because these are racism and sexism are both huge issues,
mm-hmm.
and you and I. Let's be honest. You and I are b- both much more comfortable talking about feminist issues than we are race issues.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I would say, and I, this is not a good thing I'm about to say. This is a problem I have. I want to say that up front. I seem to care way more about feminist issues than I do about race issues. I totally care about race issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the ones that, the things that really, like, piss me off and, like, inspire me to action and things like that are feminist issues, LGBT issues, and gun control issues.
Well,
and racism pisses me off, but not on the same level, and it probably should.
Well, maybe it should, but of course, remember that it's not something that we deal with. We don't deal with it every day at all, but we don't know people who are dealing with it every day. That's probably another reason why it doesn't come up in our consciousness all the time.
I think that's, and I think that's indicative of something that's not good.
Well, I mean, you know, one thing I do about that is when I consciously look for news about this kind of stuff so that I stay aware of it, because I understand that I live in a bubble. So I have to make sure that I'm conscious of what's going on. But still, I go to see a movie like Black Panther, and even though I try to keep up on things, you know, I see news about Black Lives Matter, I read it, you know, I see some kind of debate going on between two people about these things. You know, after Wonder Woman, there were lots of discussions about race in relation to that movie. I saw those articles, and I made sure I read those articles to see what that was about, and they were very interesting and informative. But as informed as I try to be, and as much out of my bubble as I try to explore, something about this film didn't sit right, and I wasn't sure what that was about. So I've been trying to work it out ever since. And I've found some answers in some of the things that some black people are saying in articles and so on, and other things I'm not so sure about. But I just don't feel confident in. I mean, I could talk to you about it off the air. That would be one thing. But, you know, this is a public thing that's going on the internet or whatever. I just don't feel like, you know, I don't want to be one more white person talking about things that they don't know anything about. And frankly, if someone were to call me on anything I say about feminism, I would, you know, immediately say, you know, you're right. I mean, I'm a man who don't, and I don't know what I'm talking about. But the only reason I feel more comfortable in those contexts is because, you know, I interact with women every day, and, you know, I hear what they have to say about things, or I ask them what they think about things, so I feel more informed, and I feel like the things I say come from that information I'm getting from women every single day. I don't interact with black people on a daily basis. I think the last time I talked to a black person was when I got my driver's license renewed, and that was probably the first time I talked to a black person for years before that. Part of that's living in Iowa. There's not a huge black population here, although we live in an area that's got a higher concentration of black people than a lot of other people places in Iowa. But it's just not something that, you know, most of the news I get about race issues are not from people. And to me, that's the most important, because as I've told you, the first time I ever even became aware of things like privilege or media biases or whatever is when I was living with a friend of mine who happened to be black. That was the second time I lived with a black person. And we were watching the news, and he was pointing out to me some ways that the video was cut together in a segment, you know, that it was about crime. And every time they used the word crime or were talking about crime on campus, there was a student, a black student, walking down the sidewalk, and whenever they weren't talking about that, they were all white students. And here's the thing about that. If he told me that without me watching it right in front of me, I was the kind of person back then who would have said, well, I think, you know, I think you're reading into things, or that's probably a coincidence. But because we were watching it right there, and also because I knew a little bit about video editing, and all video editing it's not an accident. It's deliberate. I'm not saying the person was thinking about it, but on some unconscious level, something was happening there. And that changed my whole outlook toward race in America. Why? Because I had this friend who was black and who could explain it to me and who was willing to explain it to me. And you just can't get that from reading the news. And so, you know, I just, I understand that I have that deficit in my knowledge and in my interactions. And I don't like putting forth when I don't know what I'm talking about anyway. I know I often do on the podcast because I got to say something. I always regret it. but this time it's like, to me, the stakes are a little higher when you're talking about race or whatever. I just don't want to even go there because I don't feel confident about anything I would be saying, which isn't unusual, but I just feel like I'd be more respectful to the film. It's kind of a cultural moment we're having with this movie, and I don't want to risk sullying that anyway just because I'm some ignorant person that doesn't know what's going on, you know. So, you understand what I'm saying?
20 sentences ago.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I feel pretty much the same, although I do interact with black people a little bit more than you do. But I basically feel in the same position. I also stand by my claim that I am troubled by that. I feel like that is something to be looked at.
Well, what can be done about it? I mean, if you don't have associations with enough people,
the most straightforward thing is find a way to hang out with black people.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a broader issue. It's a social issue. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's not something that I've much. There's only a couple times it's come up in my head. One was this Black Panther, and the other was when. A friend of mine, Coffee, actually, got kind of in. Coffee, who is white, I should say, got pretty involved in the Black Lives Matter movement.
Okay.
And I was like, whoa, that's weird. And then I'm like, why is that weird? And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. Why am I not doing that?
Mm.
And, yeah, and it gives me. It shows that deficit, and I'm like, that deficit should not be there.
Well, I mean, I suppose another. Way the deficit could be overcome is if I had an education that dealt with, you know, issues of black history and things like that, because that's part of it. That was definitely lacking in my Iowa small town education. Some of it when I went to college was alleviated, but not completely, of course. And then again, living in a state where that's predominantly white, that's just how it goes. I was raised in an environment that believed this, and if this has only been reinforced for me as time has gone on, it's a real problem, I think, when people put forth in public about things that they don't really know anything about, and I really try hard not to do that about anything. And I just really don't feel confident about this topic. But I will say that I did enjoy the movie. I'll say that. And I do encourage people to go see it. But that's as much as I feel like I can say about it. But, I mean, if you want to talk about it, I mean, maybe there's something I can contribute to the conversation.
Mostly the only stuff I want to talk about is in response to things you already said in email. But I don't know if that's okay, because that would be saying things you talked about.
No, I don't know. That might be okay, because I said something about the characters. This has to do with the
female characters specifically.
Well, but it wasn't just the female characters.
Well, the thing I was going to say was in response to specific comments you made about the female characters.
Right, but what I said about the female characters actually applied to most of the characters. What I said was I didn't know what the arc was for really any character at all, not just the female characters, any character, except maybe the main character and the bad guy, one of the bad guys. I could kind of see arcs there. But for most of the characters, I'm not even sure what their arc was. And that, maybe I just didn't get it. But it wasn't just the female characters. It was mostly characters.
Maybe you didn't, because I mostly saw everybody's arc just fine.
Oh, okay.
The one, Nakia, they didn't do... It was a lot of tell-don't-show with her character arc. But most of the others, and actually one character in particular, and I cannot... think of a way to identify this character without spoiling it, had a definite character arc that I definitely did not like. And that was, it felt stupid. It didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm going to have
to tell
you.
I think I know what you're talking
yeah, about. Yeah, well, and that stuck out for me as, like, that's my biggest issue with the movie, is that character arc felt really out of place. But Okoye, T'Challa, even the guy whose name... The guy who was the king of the other tribe.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I felt all their arcs. No, in specific to the bit where... Jazz and I and other people have been talking about, and the female characters in this have so much more depth and dimension and so forth, sure. And you're like, I didn't see that. They were cool, but I didn't see that. And I've been thinking about that. I'm like, why do I think that? And I think some of it is, like I said, I saw arcs, but I think a big one is I just felt they had way more agency than most female characters, even when we put forth, like, female leads. Because, like... Nakia's entire story is about her making decisions that are sort of counter to what she's supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And Okoye's arc, in fact, I could almost say it's a bit flawed because it's kind of it's an arc that's been done before, in my opinion, mm-hmm. but it's always done with a man before because mm-hmm. frequently you don't have that character in that role. Mm-hmm. Shuri didn't have one, but Shuri's my favorite because I just loved her. She was awesome. And I started calling everybody Colonizer after that movie. what's funny is I called a friend of mine that at gaming, and he was like, I wonder if they just threw that line in as... It didn't work because Martin Freeman wasn't supposed to be British in that. He was supposed to be American. And I was like, holy shit, dude. Not only... does the U.S. have plenty of colonizing, we still have more colonies than just about anybody else. Like, ask South Korea and the giant army we have stationed there. I was like, yeah, no, dude, just because we didn't call them that nearly as much. Yeah, no, we've got colonizing covered.
I mean, how did I get here?
Honestly, when I saw the movie... I was displeased with Killmonger. I thought it, once again, was a fairly uninteresting, generic villain. When I saw the movie, I have read articles since then praising that character design that have really made me reconsider certain things. And I think some of it is me... It was my perspective... Like, not taking certain things into consideration. And I think some of it is... I mean, I don't want to give myself too much credit, but... Some of the stuff built into that character just... Like, when people point it out to me, it's unusual to have a character with that sort of personality and backstory. Like his motivations were cloudy. In very interesting and really kind of very real ways. And I think in my head, that didn't seem that unusual. And so it seemed a little generic to me. But having it pointed out to me, I'm like, yeah, I guess... They did do it different. And it gave it more substance than most baddies in a superhero movie. Oh. Most baddies in a superhero movie are just assholes. and there was motivation here and all that. And that was kind of... cool. The Tolkien white guy's joke is still just the best thing in the world about that film. Also, favorite moment, during the car chase, Okoye with the spear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, holy crap, that was awesome.
Cool.
So awesome. Okay, I guess we don't have too much...
The female characters were vital characters, like you said, agency. Yeah, absolutely, that's true.
I was least interested in Nakia, because again, I feel like she didn't get to do as much in the movie. But it's a shame, because Lupita Nyong'o's amazing. So in some way, I feel like her talents were wasted a little bit. But it was still good. I mean, it was still better than 90% of female characters in any superhero movie before. Well, I just felt she didn't have as much to do.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to the film and you're just going to see another Marvel movie, except maybe you're celebrating along with many of the rest of us, you know, how it's got such an extensive black cast, the people behind the camera, it is a landmark thing. I mean, it's extraordinary. It's fun. But, you know, me, I can't help but, you know, thinking about a whole bunch of, you know, cultural implications, messages, so on and so forth, wondering if there's a discussion being generated by any of this. And, of course, there is.
Oh, yeah.
So if... and I encourage anyone who's seen it and just went and thought it was great fun and enjoyed it and enjoyed the cultural moment to dig in a little bit to what people are saying.
All you know, representation issues aside, I still think it's one of the better MCU films.
I have to agree
with
that.
It's just a good movie and a good story and holds together pretty well.
I have to agree with that. Well, and I also said an email, and I'll say it here, is it felt to me like a very plot-driven picture, which I like. Plot-driven pictures. It doesn't bother me if maybe other aspects are not as don't strike me profoundly. And as far as that goes, it was very good. I mean, one thing led to another, and you were right along for the ride. It was very fun. But yeah, I left kind of confused by some things, and I wasn't quite sure because, you know. What you hear people say, and I think the people who created the film said this, was they were going for an aesthetic that is called Afrofuturist.
Yes.
And you know, I knew a little bit about what that was, but by the end of the film, I was thinking maybe I don't know enough about what this is to get it. So well, I looked up some stuff about that.
But this is another thing when I talk about. When you talk about I don't talk with black people very much and stuff like that, also, most of the comedians I listen to or watch, white. Most of the stuff I read, the genre fiction and all that, by white people, about white people. Mm-hmm. These are all things that, like, this made me think. I'm like, I need to be reading some Afrofuturist stuff, because there's a lot out there now, and
I hear
really
it's really good, yeah.
I'm like, I need to steer my sci-fi that way. And one of the things I really loved... is I feel like the culture setup was weird. There were times where it looked like, let's take four or five iconic things from African very diverse African cultures and just smush them together, which was a little weird. But in general, the society felt like somebody who achieved advanced technology in isolation from the West. It very much felt like, here's a different way technology might have improved. Mm. And I liked that. It didn't feel like just Western technology that these people happened to learn. It felt like it was definitely their own thing. The way the technology worked and so forth, which I thought was very cool.
I didn't feel that way, actually, about it. Although I've read some
articles...
Come on,
sneakers! No, I'm kidding.
I've read some articles since that pointed out things that you know, I noticed in the film, and I must have glossed over. It's like, oh yeah, that and that. Yeah, that's true. I guess for the most part, what you just said is right. It didn't feel like it at the time while I was watching it, but
Some reason it hit me pretty hard at the time. I think it's also on just an aesthetic level. I really like the special effects in this movie, and so I think that made me pay more attention. But I want them to make another one.
I'm sure they will.
I would think so, but they're not going to do it before... Well, not before Infinity War. They might make it before the next one, I suppose, but...
Well, someone pointed out in the production stuff, in the production stills of Infinity War, T'Challa, is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
Not only is he in Infinity War, but the general, the one.
Yeah, Okoye is in there. A bunch of them are in there. It appears that a large chunk of Infinity War takes place in Wakanda. There's a lot of stuff related to that. I mean, and there were post-credits things that hint at stuff like that that's going to happen. But if you look at the trailers, there's a lot of Wakandans there, and there's a lot of stuff. There's a bit where Captain America shows up and T'Challa's like, get this man a shield and stuff like that. And you can see, I believe you can see Okoye, you can see Nakia, I don't know if you can see Mbuki. Nobody's sure about Shuri, but holy shit, if she's not in there, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
and just a lot of time that looks kind of like Wakanda. So I think a lot of that movie takes place in Wakanda, and I'm excited about that. Could not give two shits about Ant-Man and the Wasp. I'm gonna see it. I have to see it. I so don't care.
We kind of liked that, man. We rented it.
Yeah.
But
it was fine. I mean, it was a way to kill a couple hours that I didn't hate. But to me, it was just not. Well, it's the very thing. Like, they tried to do, oh, it's a smaller scale and all this. I'm like, no pun intended. I'm like, yeah, it is. And so I kind of don't care as much.
The thing from the previews that always bothers us is, so they have to abandon their base or whatever, but they take it with them because they shrink it. But wait, I thought the whole conceit here was that it got smaller, but it maintained its density. So when he's small, he can beat things up. So how can he shrink the building, but then pull it like a suitcase?
The same way that when he's 30 feet tall, he's not weak as a kitten. Because it's bad. And my brother-in-law is like, yeah, you guys, you really pointed out the scientific illogic in the superhero movie. And I'm like, yeah, but every other goddamn thing is magic, or he's a god, or, like, aliens showed up. This is supposedly humans came up with this, and they even explain it in decent detail,
right.
And then they can't hold together their own internal consistency.
That's the problem, is that they make a big deal out of that rule so that you will understand when he's small he can still beat up a big guy.
Yeah. But
okay, well then,
and honestly,
what?
This is Jack Kirby and Stan Lee's fault, but...
To
be fair, they at least adjusted it somewhat, because I'm pretty sure in the Jack Kirby and Stan Lee one, his suit just automatically, magically let him control ants or something, too.
Oh,
so they at least had to adjust that slightly.
Yeah.
Although it's still kind of dumb. But anyway. Yeah. So, everybody should go see Black Panther. It's very good. And good soundtrack. Good both soundtrack and... songs from the movie. The Kendrick Lamar curated one is really good, and the actual orchestral soundtrack is also very good. I highly recommend both of them.
I think everyone who goes will be glad they went.
Yeah, it's cool. And Shuri's awesome. She's absolutely my favorite.
But I would also encourage people...
Although Koya is pretty cool, too.
...to see what, you know... Black people are saying about it.
Yep.
Because I think it's important, if you're not a black person, or particularly if you're a white person, I guess, to know, you know, what is the big deal about it. I mean, you might like it for your reasons, but I think it's important. Race is just something we need to do better about talking about in this country.
In general, and in specific, you and I.
What do you mean?
We need to be better at talking about race.
Yeah, right. I agree. I totally agree.
I think this shines a light on that. You and I are pretty good. We can sling our feminism around pretty well. We got to work on our race discussion, critical race theory. I've only just brushed the surface of that stuff.
Yeah.
That I didn't know that existed until a few years ago, and it absolutely makes sense. And I think it's. I need a synonym for critical. I don't just want to say critical. I think it's critical to study that stuff. How the social system and the justice system works, and how there are institutionalized racism built into that, and what that means.
Well, and there's so many, like, one of the things that impressed me after Wonder Woman, when I went and saw an article with two people, happened to be black people, but they were also talking about, you know, critical theory and so on.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Wonder Woman, and they were talking about the moment where in Wonder Woman, and I don't remember what the character's name was, but there was it was a black Amazon, and she was she was fighting off some people in a kind of almost a King of the Hill kind of way.
Yeah.
And at one point someone took a weapon and hit her in the back, and it didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then she did something to throw her off the platform or whatever. What these two people pointed out was that, you know, there are stereotypes, you
absolutely.
Know, about black women and, you know,
well, black people in general,
big hulking black woman who can't be hurt by anything. And I didn't think about that at the time, not at all.
And in fact, other people have touted that as a positive from all the people who are like, yeah, this movie was really different. We just had an island full of gorgeous women. And they're like, some of those women were not stereotypically model gorgeous.
No.
And they cite her in particular because she's very bulky and muscular, and that's not normally a thing. So, yeah, I mean, there's different... But you're right, there's absolutely... She was the girl Michael Clark Duncan. And, you know, rest in peace and all that, but he was kind of built as a giant trope.
Well, yeah, I mean, if if it had been a woman that we typically associate with Asian countries or something, that would have been very different.
Yes.
But a black woman, that's actually
it's a little on the nose.
Yeah,
it's one of those that, like, there may have been no conscious decision in anybody's mind while casting, of that.
Sure.
But it's still there, yeah.
And perhaps she's just the one who ended up being perfect for that part or whatever.
Well, and also, yeah, unless they did some really weird CGI stuff, she clearly was a giant hulking beast.
Honestly, I didn't see any other women like that besides her. But
as awesome as Antiope was, I don't see people breaking shit over Robin Wright's back.
But at the same time, if I'd been the filmmaker and someone would have said, hey, do you realize I would have done something else? Or I just wouldn't have had that in the movie myself, personally. So, but I'm not aware of all those things as much as I try to be. And like you said, we should do better.
All right. I saw a movie I kind of want to talk about.
Okay.
But I don't remember what it was called, and that's fine, because it was 13 minutes and it sucked.
13 minutes?
It was a short film. Yeah, Amazon has a fair bit of short films, too, and I like to watch those because they're not much of a gamble.
Okay.
You know? And because, since they're not much of a gamble for the filmmakers, either, so sometimes they stretch and do really weird and interesting things. But yeah, this one sucked. And it was about a killer... Not a killer, actually, but a bad guy who was going around finding people committing adultery and mutilating both people in terrible ways. It was a horror. Terrible. It was a horror thing. It was so much worse than that, though, because that's not so bad by itself. But it was only 13 minutes, nothing resolved. Near the end, we found out apparently you just can't kill him because, like, he got shot several times and he fell down dead, and then later he was... we never resolved it. It literally is like somebody had a really shitty movie and they just excised 13 minutes out of the middle of it for this. We also had the dumbest cop ever that was, like, all the terrible cliches to the degree that one of the characters in the movie says, stop being every cop cliche, but he does not stop.
Yet he persists.
I was like, so you even know this is what you wrote, and yet you're still... but here's why I bring this up. Because it was very much about adultery, very much about adultery being one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And so he's doing God's work and all that shit.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is, that is not particularly original. There have been other things where somebody has a particular commandment.
Sure.
And they go out vigilanteing everybody. Yeah. But here's the thing. Which commandment is it? It's almost always one or two. Like, there's only a couple that get the credit. And it's usually the adultery one. Because that's an easy one to do. It's weird to be like, thou shalt not kill, so I'm going to kill you. Like, that one's weird. So I was like, no, we need one for every commandment. And in fact, I want them to be like a supervillain team. And Trish and I are talking about it. I'm like, the grave and images guy, that's just fucked up. And I'm like, the Lord's name in vain guy, you just walk down the street, listen to someone say, God damn it. And then you'd like kill them, or I don't. It's supposed to be like an ironic punishment, so I don't even know what that is. I'm looking that one up, and we're like, you know, the not bear false witness. And we're like, you know, does my haircut look good? Yeah, it's fine. You lie. You know. And then, this was at lunch. So in the afternoon, it still was in my head. I'm like, I'm going to look up the Ten Commandments because we're missing something here.
Exodus 20 something.
Well, and I forgot the best one. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy.
Sabbath day, that's the fourth commandment.
Holy, that's the guy in the super evil team that gets picked on. Because his job is to just go around and see people working on Sunday. And then, like, kill them.
I think it's the only it's the only commandment that's not a thou shalt not, yeah. I think. Also, which day? Says the seventh day, and some people think that's Saturday in the modern...
Well, and Muslims think it's Friday, Jews think it's Saturday, Orthodox Christians think it's Sunday, Seventh-day Adventists think it's Saturday, I think it's Wednesday, just because. but that's the thing, they'd pick one. Clearly, the evil person would have something in mind.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, if you're going around doing vigilante justice on behalf of God, you're pretty confident in God's message. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're clearly like, but I just love that idea of like, I saw that guy moving some boxes. Doesn't he know it's Sunday? Guess I'm going to have to go kill him or like cut his arms off or something. Like, I don't even know. But I love this idea. Thou shalt have no other gods before. Now, to be fair, that one kind of was done. Dogma kind of approached that. But they're all of equal importance. There is no prioritizing of the Ten Commandments.
Not if you look, not according to the script. I mean, people do, but
well, yeah,
not
yeah,
in the text,
but
it doesn't seem
So there really should be vigilante killers for each of these. You covet, fuck you, you're gonna die. Like,
you diss your mom and dad.
Yes, don't respect, that is the thing too. Shut up, mom and dad, you know? Like, every teen, the population just gets wiped out because every teenager is killed. I love that. I want the super team where they each have one. And Trisha's like, what if it's a combination? You know, what if it's a graven image and also is putting another guy? I'm like, I don't know. They either like tag team it, or maybe they have to like arm wrestle for who gets to kill.
Well, the Sabbath one is also complicated because the commandment just says, remember the Sabbath day
and keep it holy.
Now, what that means, you have to go to other texts to know. So I don't know how that would work, because it's not really in the thing. But just about all the rest of them, you know what killing is, and you know which. This is, not only is this not a thou shalt not, but it's like, well, what the heck does that mean? And you have to look elsewhere in the Bible to know.
And like, if ironic punishments, you go after the steal one, do you just take other shit of theirs away? Like, I'm there's something to this. Like, I'm telling you, super team of bad guys, just vigilante each other, each has their own commandment. There's something here. This should be made into a thing. I love this idea.
Okay, well.
So make it happen. That's what I'm saying. I broke 100 hours in Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, okay.
Suvi and I are now officially an item.
Oh, wow.
We haven't done much besides kiss, but we're an item now. So that went well. I think I am near the end. The part that I thought was like heading to the end just was to like a new act, but it's a pretty short act, I think.
Mm.
I have new quests, but they're all like, come to this planet and have one last drink with me or some shit, you know, so it's a lot of that. Now I'm just running around shooting things because I've been experimenting with weapon modding in a more extreme situation and like power specs and stuff. And I've got some really fun specs now. Where it's really, and it's really hard to find random encounters when like you're looking for it in that game. Mm-hmm. They don't respawn much.
Oh, right.
So I'm like, come on, I want somebody to kill. I found out a whole other chunk to the little side missions you do with the Apex teams or whatever, the multiplayer thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a whole other, you can spend points to equip them and stuff, mm-hmm. and I had no idea until Stu, listener to the podcast, is doing it. And in fact, there's an app for it. You can so you can run the missions when you're not even there.
Interesting.
But yeah, still.
Well, that part I didn't know. My wife did the other thing you're talking about, but we didn't have a smartphone for apps or anything.
Yeah, and I didn't put it on mine. I'm like, that might be a bridge too far for me. And the other thing you might be interested in, I'm pleased to say I have gone to the gym 4 days out of 4 days this week.
Wow.
Been so long since I've done that, and I'm on track to go tomorrow, no problem.
Good.
And what I'm doing, I'm just doing treadmill stuff at this point because I just needed to get, you know, mobility and some general exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using my tablet to watch TV.
Yeah, you said you might try to do that.
And I'm watching Bates Motel. So far, my goal is to be where I watch an episode a day.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I can't do that, so I would watch a half of that episode. So I've seen exactly 2 episodes.
Oh, okay.
In that. You and my boss, if it weren't for your both giving me strong recommendations, I would have bailed so fucking fast.
I'm not surprised by that.
Holy shit.
I warned you.
You did. I was not prepared.
Because
I'm just like, not only do I not like any aspect of this, I don't see how you turn this around.
Well,
I'm doing that, and I will say the second episode was better. I will also say all the acting in the show is pretty stellar,
mm-hmm.
and the show is not boring.
No.
It is complicated by the fact that I have had a crush on Vera Farmiga for years. So her playing Norma Bates just adds a level to the creepy vibe, because I totally have a thing for her.
But she's adorable and charming through the whole thing. So.
And she does. She's doing. Everybody's doing an incredible job. There's funny, but like there was a character that I was like, you know, who would have been perfect for that? Vincent D'Onofrio. Why didn't we have him play that role? And then I found out, oh, because that character dies real fast. And then there's another character who I know the actor, and that character's getting into a little bit of trouble, and when the start of the second episode happened, I noticed that that character is listed as a guest star, and I'm like, oh, they're screwed. They're screwed. I'm like, yeah, yeah, your poking around is not going to end well, buddy. Yeah. But yeah, it's fucked up.
It is very much so.
There's really good personality, and I'm already seeing lots of chemistry with all sorts of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. I will say there is something somewhat compelling about that. So I mean, I'm planning on sticking with it. I did realize on the topic of watching TV shows while I'm at the gym, and that means fairly regularly watching, and not being able to watch some of the shows I want to watch because they're full of boobs. I might try... I mean, after this, I got 50 episodes of this, so it'll be a while. But I might try Supernatural.
Oh.
Since I'm there and I can, and I'll it's basic what, cable.
I do think you'll like maybe the first 6 seasons, honestly.
People have said the first 5 seasons is a complete story.
5, yeah, that's
They've
right.
said 5 ends things, and you can pretend none of the rest happened. And
you
it's
probably
good.
Should. Pretend.
I've heard that too, even from people still watching it who like it.
No, but I do think you'll like those first seasons. I do.
So I might try and tackle that one. I'm trying to come up with things because I'm like, ideally, I will go through a lot more TV than I normally do because of this new idea.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to think of what I might watch. But yeah, Jesus, like, oh, like, it's you and my boss. Literally. Like, so many other people have said it's good, but I'm like, yeah, there's lots of stuff that's good that I would hate. Like, I trust you two, and especially you, to know me well enough, and you were very sort of emphatic in your specific recommendation that I'm like, I'm sticking to it, but holy shit.
I hadn't known that you were such a fan of Vera's, but I did think that her character in particular, that you'll like.
Yeah.
I did think that.
And the guy playing Norman is doing a great job, and yeah.
But something I'm looking forward to that I only found out about just a couple days ago was Netflix is going to have Lost in Space, you know?
Oh, yeah, the new Lost in Space. I haven't watched the trailer.
Space Family Robinson?
Yeah.
Because Toby Stevens? He was in Black Sails. He played a character, really excellent. He's Maggie Smith's son.
Okay.
And he's fantastic. So we're looking forward to seeing him in a new show. I mean, I don't know if the show will be any good, but we like him, so we think it'll be nice. But yeah, he's in Black Sails, which you're going to watch sometime, I hope?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just got too many boobs to watch at the gym.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I found out that the guy who did Moon, the guy who directed Moon, the Sam Rockwell movie?
Okay, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
That great movie.
That was good.
Loved that movie.
Yeah, that was good.
Is the same guy who directed Source Code, which I have no interest in, but other people seem to think was a really good movie, with Jake Gyllenhaal and the time travel on a train.
That's got Vera in it.
Yeah. I didn't watch it. I wasn't interested. Oh, but he also directed that. He also directed the Warcraft movie that absolutely no one except the Chinese liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He also... is David Bowie's son.
What?
Yep.
Oh, wait,
Duncan
know.
Jones, because David Bowie's actual last name is Jones.
I did not know that.
I didn't either. I'm like, they were going through stuff, and I was like, wow, those are really different movies. I'm really surprised. Oh, and it's David Bowie's son. All right, because apparently he just directed a thing called Mute
on Netflix
that
yeah.
apparently kind of sucks.
Yeah, I heard that.
But also is his first use of his father's music in a movie.
Oh.
Because there's some Bowie in that.
Huh.
But yeah, so that I was reading about that, and I was like, holy shit!
Yeah, Bill was.
And I remember before knowing that, like, the name was familiar, and he sort of works to not be known as David Bowie's son, and that's why he goes by Duncan Jones. And like, he didn't decide to go by Duncan Bowie. And in response to what everybody asked, I don't know who his mother was. And it's, I mean, it's David Bowie, so one third of the women on the planet during the 60s and 70s?
Come on,
that dude fucked.
Okay, well, I don't know.
There's a tell-all about it, in fact. But yeah, no, he got around. All right, we got like 10 minutes, so we should draw something.
Okay.
Don't worry, guys, we'll draw a lot more in the next episode, so you only have to wait a week.
Craig.
No, my name's Tony.
What are your thoughts on...
I think Craig's getting married in like a few weeks.
Oh, really?
Well, I wanted to say it was mid-April, so I think it's coming. I do have some more shit to talk about. I'll talk about it next week.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Star Trek Discovery?
Ow.
As of what has aired at the time of this question being read? Well, Craig, because it's on a streaming service...
Yeah.
I think I've seen one episode because...
They put one just on CBS to try and get
people.
Sure.
And I think I did see that, and I thought, okay, this is promising. I like this. I've heard many good things about it, but I haven't seen any more because I am not a subscriber to that streaming service.
I am also not a subscriber. I don't know. In the UK, maybe it's just on TV. I don't know.
I don't know.
That's what's going on with Craig. In the US, CBS has recently launched their own streaming service called CBS Access, I believe.
Yep, Access.
And it's the only place you can see Star Trek Discovery. That was kind of their biggest hook to try and get people. I, knowing that was going to be the case, did not watch the pilot. Because I was like, best case scenario, this talks me into a new streaming service. Mm. And I don't want that. And... people are going to... I might be tired of Star Trek.
Oh, well, sure. That's
like, and I don't mean like the old stuff is still fun, but I mean I might not need any more.
Yeah.
This has been a thing for me lately. I'm like, because we all talk about stop making movies that are sequels. How about stop making TV shows that are sequels also, or reboots?
Sure.
Like, just make your own shit. And especially because a lot of these sequels and reboots bear no resemblance to what they're supposed to be the sequel to, so why didn't you just call it something else? And I know the reasons why, but it's still annoying. Then it happened, and I heard, after about two episodes, that it was not very good.
Oh, I heard the opposite.
Critically, I heard this, and then I talked to people, because I know some people who watch it, and I know some people who specifically bought it, so they could watch it.
Mm.
And they kind of agreed that it wasn't good in that there were a lot of weird plot problems and things in the beginning, but that they just enjoyed watching it.
Okay.
And they've also said since then it's gotten better. So, yeah, and it sounds like it's an entertaining show, and it's got some cool new directions in terms of representation, which is really neat. But yeah, maybe it doesn't hold together real well plot-wise and stuff. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if it's ever like... You know, since a lot of TV shows, no matter what source they are, eventually end up on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah.
That means they could eventually end up on Netflix.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Without any kind of deal or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
And so we'll, and maybe not streaming, maybe we might have to get the discs, but we'll probably do that and watch a season's worth to see if we like it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna... Somebody the other day was just recommending Frankenstein Chronicles.
Season 2 is a lot better than season 1. A lot better. I don't know. This should have been season 1, honestly. Still, though, I'd say that anyone who says that, well, there's some good ideas there, but it doesn't quite grab you, I think that's a decent criticism.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we watched both seasons because I liked what we saw in the second season, but I don't know if I could recommend it to anyone unless... I mean, if you really like something like...
it was being compared to Ripper Street and...
Yeah.
I forget what else. Something else they were comparing
it to. The other thing I was thinking of was Penny Dreadful or something.
Yeah.
But it's really not like either one of those things. It's a lot more... I mean, there's more scenes where nobody's saying anything. It's trying to be very pensive and whatever. So, you know... Because the Ripper Street and we've watched some of that, Ripper Street, and we watched all of Penny Dreadful. Things are happening all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's very active.
Yeah, there aren't pauses or anything.
They're less dramas and more action-y.
In this one, you know, there's like, you know, there'll be a two-minute sequence of Sean Bean just looking around at things, you know? I was like, well, okay, that's
when you talk dramatic, about it,
but I don't know if...
The pauses and the silence and all that. Whenever people talk about that kind of thing, I always think back to fairly early Eddie Izzard. Like, I want to say it's from Circle or maybe... Dressed to Kill, I don't know, one of his earlier ones, and he talks about American dramas are very in your face, and they're like, hey, you fuck my wife, and he does this whole bit about, you fuck my wife, I am your wife, what, and all something. He's like, yeah, in Britain we just, people like accidentally walk into doors, and then they're like, oh, I, would you, no, should I, yet? I just thought, no, we should, and lots of pauses, and just miscommunication, yeah, yeah, and all that, and, he's like, but Americans is much more. And so whenever you're talking about this, I'm like, yep. Sean Bean's walking into a room and say, oh, I thought, but did you? No. All right.
Yeah, there's lots of moments like that, which I appreciate. I mean, you know, I watch sometimes.
Oh my God.
From Netflix streaming, we watch a lot of the Scandinavian stuff.
Yeah.
That's very moody. I like that kind of stuff.
My tolerance for that is eroding. This is a bad thing. I should be fighting it. I'm not doing it very well. It is very much that my attention span is eroding.
Oh, I see.
And tied to that is this very thing. The number of times where I'm like, you know, I watch shitty movies. You know that.
Yeah.
I watch a lot of those.
Yeah.
Only a fraction of them do I get to talk about because I start to watch them and I'm like, I'm bored. And it's often not the movie. It's like whatever mood I'm in.
Yeah,
so I get like 20 minutes. I'm like, no, this is taking too long. In fact, I don't trust myself now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, God, why aren't they getting to the actual point of the story? And I have to check. I move the joystick thing so I can see. Oh, because it's only been 6 minutes. They're allowed a 6 minute intro, okay? And so I'll tell myself, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give them 15 minutes to do. Because I'll be like, it's only 6 minutes? Holy crap, it feels like it's been an hour.
But sitting on the kitchen floor eating pie for
a good, that was the
solid
thing.
3 or 4 minutes.
I watched the clock. I'm like, that was, okay, it wasn't as long as it felt, but that was, no, and that movie was full of that shit.
I know, it went overboard, I think.
I got to see what the sidewalk outside of that house looked like for like a half hour. And let me tell you, that sidewalk told me nothing.
Yeah, I thought it was too much. I thought it was too much.
Yeah, and, well, and the trailer, there's things like, that guy gives his little, the guy at the party gives his little speech.
Oh, that was terrible.
But the thing is, in the trailer, it was edited to seem really interesting.
Yeah, but...
And then they did it, and it's like they only did sort of the first half of it, and the second half is the most boring, cliched stuff we already all know anyway.
It's awful.
Like, I was really intrigued by the way he said it in the trailer, and then I was like, oh, no, you're just a goddamn depressed freshman philosophy student.
Yeah,
I
remember thinking, if I was at this party, I would already have walked into the other room.
Yeah.
To start a conversation.
Well, no, because if you're at the party, you'd be on some kind of drug.
I suppose.
and so was he. And I think that's,
but it was, like, oh. It was not interesting. Or, like you said, freshman, it seemed like.
And
or senior in high school.
I still say the biggest crime was having that gorgeous, gorgeous, brilliant song and trying to convince us that Casey Affleck wrote it and was singing it.
You know what?
Fuck,
we haven't even
movie.
Mentioned we're talking about.
A ghost story.
A ghost story.
At this point, if you don't know what we're talking about when we say the pie scene, you're either brand new, in which case I do apologize, and welcome, because we don't get a lot of new listeners, or you're dumbass. Come on, you know what we mean. Just the other day, Trish was talking to somebody, and she couldn't remember what the movie was called, and she's like, what was that really dumb movie we watched with the ghost? And I was like, oh, you mean Rooney Mara's The Pie?
That's got to be the title of this episode. That's got to be.
That is a good one. You're right.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, if you don't know what the pie scene is at this point, you're not listening hard enough. All right. Well, we are out of time, and we have to do a whole another one of these.
Okay.
So, go to the blog, and you guys talk about Black Panther, because we won't. So, Make that happen. Jazz, specifically. Put some stuff out there. You had thoughts? You had things?
Yeah, I'm interested in whatever anybody has to say.
This is the thing. When people want to tell us stuff, like sometimes they'll try and email or do it other way. I'm like, put it on the blog.
Yeah.
Then everybody can see it. Otherwise, yeah, we'll see you guys in a few minutes. For you, it'll be a week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.